Hello, and welcome to your WJAKA Level Biology Study Guide podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and we're diving into one of the most rewarding topics in the entire specification, inheritance covered in Unit 7.1. Now I know what some of you might be thinking. Genetics, Punnett squares, chi-squared tests. It sounds like a lot. But here's the thing. Once you understand the logic behind inheritance, it becomes one of the most predictable and mark-friendly topics on the paper. And I mean that. Examiners follow very clear patterns when they set these questions, and by the end of this episode, you'll know exactly what they're looking for. We're going to cover the core concepts clearly, walk through exam technique, tackle common mistakes, do a quick-fire recall quiz, and then wrap up with a crisp summary. So grab a pen, maybe a piece of paper for the diagrams I'll describe, and let's get into it. Let's start with the absolute foundations. Inheritance is about how genetic information is passed from parents to offspring. Every organism has a genome made up of genes, and each gene exists at a specific location on a chromosome called a locus. For most genes, you have two copies, one on each homologous chromosome, and these different versions of a gene are called alleles. Now, alleles can be dominant or recessive. A dominant allele is expressed in the phenotype, that's the observable characteristic, even when only one copy is present. A recessive allele is only expressed when two copies are present, meaning the organism is homozygous recessive. When an organism carries two identical alleles, we call it homozygous. When it carries two different alleles, it's heterozygous. Here's a quick way to remember. Heterozygous means different. The hetero prefix means other or different, just like in the word heterogeneous. Homozygous means the same. Homo means same, like in homogeneous. Right, now let's talk about genetic diagrams because this is where the marks are. WJHEA is very specific about how you must lay out a genetic diagram, and if you don't follow the format, you will drop marks even if your biology is correct. The five labels you must always include are parental phenotypes, parental genotypes, gametes, and these must be circled or clearly separated, then offspring genotypes, and finally, offspring phenotypes. Think of it as a five-rung ladder. Miss a rung and you're not getting full marks. Let's work through a monohybrid cross. Imagine we're crossing two heterozygous plants for flower color, where purple is dominant over white. We'd write the parents as A cross Ea. The gametes from each parent are A in a circle each one. Then we complete the Punnett square to get offspring genotypes of 1AA, 2AA, and 1AA. That's a 1:2, 2:1 genotypic ratio. The phenotypic ratio is 3 purple to 1 white, the classic 3:1 ratio. Now, dihybrid crosses involve two genes on different chromosomes. They assort independently following Mendel's law of independent assortment. If you cross two dihybrid parents, UABB cross ABB, you get the famous 9:3 to 3:1 ratio in the offspring. 9 show both dominant traits, 3 show 1 dominant and 1 recessive, 3 show the other combination, and 1 shows both recessive traits. But here's where it gets interesting, and where WJAKE loves to test you. What if you get a ratio that doesn't match 9:3:3:1? That's your signal that something else is going on. The two main explanations are epistasis and autosomal linkage. Epistasis is when one gene masks the expression of another gene. There are different types. Dominant epistasis gives you a 12:3:1 ratio, recessive epistasis gives you 9:3:4, and duplicate recessive epistasis gives you 9:7. When you see these unusual ratios in an exam question, your first thought should be, which gene is epistatic to which? Autosomal linkage is different. This is when two genes are located on the same chromosome, not the sex chromosomes, but an autosome. Because they're physically linked, they tend to be inherited together rather than independently. This means you won't get the expected 9:3:3:1 ratio. Instead, you'll get an excess of parental combinations and fewer recombinant combinations. The frequency of recombination depends on how far apart the genes are on the chromosome. The further apart, the more crossing over occurs during meiosis, and the more recombinant offspring you get. Now let's talk about sex linkage, because this is a really common exam question type. Sex-linked genes are located on the sex chromosomes, usually the X chromosome. Because males only have one X chromosome, they only have one copy of any X-linked gene. This means males are much more likely to express X-linked recessive conditions like color blindness or hemophilia. The critical rule for sex-linked crosses, and this is a mark-losing mistake I see all the time, is that you must write the full sex chromosome notation. So for a colorblind male, you write X superscript NY, not just X superscript N on its own. The Y chromosome must be there. For a carrier female, you write X superscript capital N, X superscript lowercase n, both X chromosomes must be shown. Finally, let's cover the chi-squared test. This is your statistical tool for deciding whether the results of a genetic cross-match what Mendelian genetics predicts. The formula is chi-squared equals the sum of open bracket, observed minus expected, close bracket, squared, divided by expected. You calculate this for each phenotype category and add them all together. To use the test, you first state a null hypothesis. There is no significant difference between the observed and expected results. Then you calculate chi-squared, work out the degrees of freedom, which is the number of categories minus one, and compare your calculated value to the critical value at p equals 0.05. If your calculated chi-squared is less than the critical value, you accept the null hypothesis. If it's greater, you reject it. Right, let's talk exam technique. WGXE questions on inheritance follow very predictable patterns, and knowing these patterns is worth marks. First, always read the question carefully to identify what type of cross is being described. Look for clues. If the question mentions sex, males, females, or X-linked, you're dealing with sex linkage. If it gives you a ratio that deviates from the expected Mendelian ratio, think epistasis or linkage. Second, the command word matters enormously. If the question says construct a genetic diagram, you must include all five labeled sections: parental phenotypes, parental genotypes, gametes, offspring genotypes, offspring phenotypes. If it just says state the expected ratio, a brief answer is fine. Don't write an essay when a ratio is all that's needed. Third, for chi-squared questions, always use the exact phrase when concluding. Say, there is no significant difference between observed and expected results, so the null hypothesis is accepted. Or if rejecting, the chi-squared value exceeds the critical value at p equals 0.05, so the null hypothesis is rejected and the difference is significant. Examiners are looking for these specific phrases. Now, the three most common mistakes I see. Mistake 1. In sex-linked crosses, candidates write only the allele superscript and forget the sex chromosomes. Always write the full notation. X superscript N, Y for a normal male, not just a superscript N on its own. Mistake 2. Failing to reject the null hypothesis when the chi-squared value is higher than the critical value. If your number is bigger, you reject. If it's smaller, you accept. It's that simple. Don't overthink it. Mistake 3. Confusing autosomal linkage with sex linkage. Autosomal linkage means two genes are on the same non-sex chromosome. Sex linkage means a gene is on a sex chromosome. They're completely different concepts. If the question doesn't mention sex chromosomes or sex-specific patterns, it's almost certainly autosomal linkage. For AO3 questions, that's analysis and evaluation, you might be given data from a cross and asked to evaluate whether the results support a hypothesis. Structure your answer as, state what the data shows, compare to expected values, apply the chi-squared test or refer to ratios, and draw a conclusion. That's your AO3 framework. Time for a quick-fire quiz! Pause after each question and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What ratio do you expect from a standard dihybrid cross between two heterozygous parents? Answer: 9:3 to 3:1. Question 2. What are the five labels required in a complete genetic diagram? Answer: parental phenotypes, parental genotypes, gametes, offspring genotypes, offspring phenotypes. Question 3. In the chi-squared test, what does a calculated value greater than the critical value at p equals 0.05 tell you? Answer: reject the null hypothesis. There is a significant difference between observed and expected results. Question 4. Why are males more likely to express X-linked recessive conditions than females? Answer: males only have one X chromosome, so they only need one copy of the recessive allele to express the condition. Females need two copies. Question 5. What ratio suggests recessive epistasis is occurring? Answer: 9:3:4. Brilliant work getting through all of that. Let's do a final summary of the key points to take away. 1. Always use the five label format for genetic diagrams: parental phenotypes, parental genotypes, gametes, offspring genotypes, offspring phenotypes. 2. For sex-linked crosses, always write the full sex chromosome notation. Include the Y chromosome for males. 3. Unusual dihybrid ratios signal epistasis or autosomal linkage. Know your ratios. 12-3-1, 9-3-4, 9-7. 4. The chi-squared formula is the sum of observed minus expected squared divided by expected. Compared to the critical value at p equals 0.05 with degrees of freedom equal to categories minus 1. 5. Use the exact conclusion phrase. There is no significant difference between observed and expected results, so the null hypothesis is accepted. Inheritance is a topic where careful, methodical working really pays off. Examiners reward candidates who show their working clearly, label everything correctly, and use precise biological language. Good luck with your revision, and remember, practice genetic diagrams until they feel automatic. The more you do them, the faster and more accurate you'll become. See you in the next episode.